Today's second lesson may be found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. We've heard this story so often that it may surprise us to learn that these shepherds were not the pious, humble folk we see on our Christmas cards. On the contrary, like merchant seamen who spend most of their lives far from civilization and from civilizing influences, these shepherds were a pretty rough and tumble lot. They weren't even especially religious. Well, how could they be? They worked 24/7, 52, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, which made it virtually impossible for them ever to worship in the temple or in a synagogue. And because they were constantly on the move, driving their sheep from one field to another, their children could not enroll in programs of religious education either. And the result was that generation after generation of shepherds grew up outside the frontiers of society, suspicious of townspeople, and without much spiritual commitment. Moreover, respectable people shunned shepherds, and not just because they were irreligious, but because so many of them were also dishonest. Here is what one rabbi of the time had to say about shepherds. "Let no man make his son a camel driver, a shepherd, or an innkeeper, for as much as their craft is a craft of robbers." And yet, it was to these men, to men who were unwelcome in polite society, estranged from organized religion, that God first broke the news of the Savior's birth. But since shepherds were persons with such unsavory reputations, what do they have to do with us? We are as far removed from their lifestyle as Bethlehem is from Washington. We are polite society. We are organized religion. Our reputations are unassailable. So what do the shepherds have to say to us today? In fact, quite a lot. First, because they went. They went with haste, Luke says, and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. Well, you say, of course they went. How could they not go after such a display of angelic splendor? It's one thing to hear about the Savior, but that's only secondhand news, even if it does come from angels. Far better to go and see for yourself. Today, unfortunately, many who hear about Jesus never bother to go and see for themselves. Somewhere along the line, they have picked up some secondhand information about Jesus, perhaps from a college philosophy course or an article in Newsweek magazine or a special on PBS. Somewhere they have picked up the notion that has led them to believe that Jesus was simply a mere man. That Christianity as we know it today was created by the Apostle Paul and not at all by Jesus. And that religious faith of any kind is, as Freud described it, simply a defense against human helplessness. And the tragedy is they have never gone to see for themselves. They may pride themselves on being well-read, but they have never read the Gospels. They may think of themselves as unbiased, but they have never given Jesus a chance to prove that he is who he said he was. They may consider themselves to be liberal, but when it comes to Jesus, they are as narrow-minded as the most rigid fundamentalist. If you are still on the outside looking in, I urge you this morning to go and see for yourself. You might start by reading the Gospel of Mark. In the New Testament, it's the shortest of the four Gospels. It takes 1 hour and 10 minutes to read. I timed it myself last week. Go and read the Gospel of Mark, and then pick up a book by Lee Strobel, a book entitled The Case for Christ. Strobel was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, an atheist, who decided, because he was an investigative reporter, to investigate the reports about Jesus. He came away a believer in Jesus and wrote the book, The Case for Christ. You too will come away a believer if, with open mind, you are willing to go and see for yourself. Secondly, the shepherds witnessed. When they saw this, Luke writes, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. They witnessed. They shared what they had seen and heard. Last Wednesday morning, I went to breakfast with 3 youth outreach workers sponsored by World Vision in our inner city. There should have been 4 youth outreach workers there that morning, but one was shot recently and is still recovering from his wounds. These young men are witnessing to Christ's power in schools and on the streets of our city. And I'm here to tell you this morning that lives are not only being changed, they are being transformed by the witnessing going on in D.C. One of the 4 is named Treasure. I said to him, you know, your folks did you a great service. They gave you a great legacy when they gave you that name. Treasure. What a treasure he is. He told the story of approaching a high school principal in his area, offering to be of service. She immediately put him in touch with a 15-year-old boy whom she said was not only in gangs, but was suicidal. Treasure made friends with this young man. He got in tight with him, and eventually he learned that when this young man had been 4 years of age, he was driving in a car with his father on the streets of D.C. when someone came abreast of them and shot them both at close range. His father died. He was severely wounded. Since that day, that young man, now 15, has always carried a gun, because he knows that the man who shot and killed his father can be identified. Early in the summer, Treasure invited this young man to go to a summer camp sponsored by Young Life. During that week, that young man gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. And when he came home, he got rid of his guns. He got serious about school, became active in the life of his church, and now he is witnessing, like Treasure, to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. I sat for an hour last Wednesday morning listening to story after story, just like that, stories of lives that are being redeemed because four young men are witnessing in some of the toughest wards in D.C. And how can we witness in our worlds, which are so different on the outside, but just as needy on the inside? Clark Jones, who was at that breakfast, the director of this D.C. outreach ministry, Clark told us, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Treasure and his friends are caring for kids and for their families in our city. They are taking food to the hungry. They are giving counsel to the lost and to the confused. They care. And because they care, they can share what they know about Jesus Christ. And this is no less true of our unchurched friends. They don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And so let our witness begin right there. If we will listen to them, if we will advocate for them, if we will cry with them, if we will put our arms around them, we will earn the right to share with them what we know about the Savior born in Bethlehem. Third, these shepherds worshiped. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, Luke says. Now, they left behind no gifts like the wise men. They couldn't afford gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so they gave something infinitely more precious, the praise of their lips and the worship of their hearts. And it struck me for the first time this week that they didn't go to a synagogue or to the temple to worship. They returned to the fields, to their place of employment, and it was there that they glorified and praised God for all they heard and seen. So I say to you this morning, take worship with you when you leave this sanctuary today. During your travel time to office or to school tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, turn off the radio, get rid of the headset, and spend those minutes praying for our president and our Congress and for our troops overseas and for peace in our cities and in our world. And then once a day, perhaps at a break time, pray silently for your colleagues, for your schoolmates. Find another believer and have lunch together. Better yet, find several believers and engage in Bible study and prayer once a week. Worship at work this week, and you will see your workaday world in a whole new light. Oh, yes, the stress will still be there, the annoying interruptions and the irritating colleague down the hall and the inbox that never seems to empty, but the atmosphere will be altered. the perspective will be permeated with the presence of your loving God and Savior. A.W. Tozier said it, "We're here to be worshipers first and workers second. The work done by a worshiper will have eternity in it." Put some eternity in your daily schedule. Take worship to work with you this week. Well, the shepherds speak to us finally because they were wanted. They may not have been welcome in the finer homes and hotels of their day, but they were wanted in God's family. Their non-religious lifestyle may have made them suspect in the religious establishment, but they were good enough for God. Some of you here this morning may not think of yourself as particularly religious. That's okay. You belong here as much as any deacon or elder. You may be keeping a low profile this morning because your life is all messed up. I say to you in the name of the shepherd's God, to you is born this day. To you, however messed up your life may be, to you, however you may have sinned, however often you may have sinned, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Some of you may be embarrassed because you don't know the Bible very well. Don't worry about it. All you need to know right now is that God loves you unconditionally. So, fall in step with the shepherds. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. Go and see, because you are wanted. And Bethlehem's Savior is just waiting to welcome you into God's family. Amen.